our deliverer, our rock, our strong tower. We can run to you and we are safe. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we just pray your anointing upon this message this morning. Thank you for every person that's sitting here today, Lord. And I'll pray that they would be encouraged today and just replenished, filled up with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that we would be able to just take this word with us through the week and put it to practice in our everyday lives. I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. You know, I think it's nice to do some of the old ones sometimes. You know, maybe because I'm older. But it's interesting because I've heard a couple of you from time to time, and old Ben has said it, and I think Michael has said it at some stage, that every now and then something will come up in their spirit, an old song that meant something to them, either when they got born again or went through a bad time, and it's usually old. Like with Ben, it was a Jeff Bullock song, I'm Your Child. I was trying to think of it in the worship service. What was it? What was it? I thought, Sewell, no. I knew it was a Jeff Bullock song. I'm Your Child. And you know, like for all of us who are more mature, hymns come up in our spirit. And you know, I wish sometimes we did do a few hymns now and then. And what often comes up in my spirit is Great is Your Faithfulness and On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. Why? Because God knows. He pulls it out of there and he knows when you need that. And what's been coming up in my spirit is I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. All right, so that's my spin on the worship service. Good one. All right. Let's just get into the word this morning. We've been looking at and the couple times that I've been up here, we've been looking at the passage from Luke 16 where Jesus said, now the kingdom of God is being preached. Okay, so Jesus came on the scene. Now the kingdom of God is being preached. And he said, and everyone is pressing into it. And so you think, well, yeah, why wouldn't you press into it? They're seeing Jesus. They're seeing as we talked about last week, they express the exact image of the Father. So all of a sudden, society is seeing who God is really like and what he's really like. And so Jesus, when he came, he didn't only preach the kingdom, but he demonstrated the kingdom and he displayed it so people could visibly see. We get this thing, oh, the kingdom, like it's this super spiritual thing. But the kingdom of God is within us, and the kingdom is heaven and all of heaven's goodness. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because all the goodness comes from heaven. There is nothing wrong in heaven. Nothing's out of order. No one's sick. You know, there's no poverty. There's no depression. Everything is good in heaven. And so the kingdom lives within us. And it's grasping and getting a hold of this. And look, you know, just because we're up here and we preach these things doesn't mean we don't have to grasp it and get a hold of it too. Sometimes it does my head in. But I know it's the purpose that God has for us here on this earth. So Jesus displayed it. And the first passage I want us to look at is Luke 4, 16-21. So it says, Jesus, he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What's the good news? You don't have to be poor anymore. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. You know, we can be prisoner to anything in life. We don't just have to be behind bars. But a lot of things in our life can come into our life that cause us to be prisoners to it. But he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, whether it's physical or spiritual, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're still living in that year. Jesus came, it's the age of grace, and he said, this is it. I'm here, basically, all that he said there is, basically, I'm here to tell you what our Father is like. And I'm here to show you what he's like, because we're going to set captives free. We're going to cause the blind to see. And now the favor of grace in the year of our Lord is upon us. And that hasn't changed. You know, Jesus is still restoring lives, healing the brokenhearted, mending situations, healing and bringing miracles to people's lives. And, you know, we're told to pick up the same message. Whoa. You know, we are told to pick up the same message, but I don't know about you, but I think all the time, how come we're not doing it? How come we don't see it? And, you know, why? Why? Because this is the message we're supposed to, exactly what we read there, is the message we're supposed to be bringing to our communities. And, you know, people get locked up and just back into, like, how can I say this? Like, I'm not being critical, all right? But we often, all of us, we tend to just keep living in the old covenant. All right? And we have a fear of God, like the wrong kind of fear. I'm not talking about respect. I'm talking about, oh, we're afraid of God. He's, you know, out to get us. I did something wrong. We live in condemnation, you know. And we think, you know, well, maybe God doesn't want to heal me. Maybe it's not his will. And yet, in the old covenant, if you really look at it, go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 is where you really see the heart of the Father. Right there. First verse, he created everything. But I guess we should say Genesis 3, when he created man. All right, when he talked about man being made, first of all, in his image. My goodness, how much more goodness can you have? The God of the universe said, we're going to create us in their image, in his image. And he gave us dominion. And he gave us authority, and he said, you take dominion over the fish of the sea. In other words, I'll put it all in your hand. You know, there was no sickness. Life was perfect. All right? That's the heart of the Father. Right there at the beginning, the heart of the Father. The glory that we talked about before covered Adam and Eve. They lived in the glory of God. How awesome is that? How awesome. You know, so when God does something, he doesn't go backwards. All right, so the curse came. That wasn't God's fault. The curse came. And so then we have what we have in this world today. But God doesn't go backwards. God was moving forward. Even from Genesis 1, God already had a plan. Because why? He loves us, and he's good, and he wanted to bring us into his plan. The idea of living back there is like, it's not God's way. And he doesn't want us to see him as a God that we're afraid of or scared of. He wants us to see him as a good God. And Jesus was just the perpetuation of what God started in the beginning. Jesus came to continue the revelation of the Father and who he is. And so, you know, instead of thinking about going backwards, we have to remember that in God, everything's always forward motion. There's always increase. Always increase in God. Let's look at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto the, we always use this for scripture, for Christmas. Yes, I know. I was already in my sermon. It's a private joke with Chuck and I. We always use this verse for Christmas, but let me tell you, there's a lot in this verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, what government? Will be upon his shoulder. The government of heaven. The government of heaven will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Now remember, he's the exact replication of our Father, God. Exact copy. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. You need a counselor? Let me tell you. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the best counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Everlasting Father. Wow, don't we need that sense today? There's so many that either don't have fathers or have terrible fathers. And what this world is coming to. He is our Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is our God we're talking about. And right here, of the increase, get that, increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So what God started in the beginning with his people and the glory of God, it's supposed to keep increasing. Adam stuffed it, but God brought it back to where it should be. And it's supposed to keep increasing. Once the kingdom of heaven is revealed, we don't go back. We don't go back to sacrificing animals. We don't go back to any of that stuff. All right? It said the law and the prophets were until John came, but then John broke the silence of heaven when there hadn't been any prophecies. John broke the silence. And now Jesus brought the kingdom. Sorry, I've just almost lost my microphone there. Got too excited. Let's go look at 2 Corinthians 3:7-18. Okay, so remembering, here we are now. Why aren't we seeing this message being carried through? Why aren't we seeing this forward motion? And here we are again, have a reminder of this. Now remember, we talked about Moses and the glory that was on Moses. And that the Israelites couldn't even look at him because it was like, ugh, you know. And we said, when as God passed by him, he let all his goodness come upon him. And he could see all of his glory and all his goodness. All right, so we're going to look at this in a little bit more detail here. And it says, but if the mystery of death, written and engraved on stone, okay, ministry of death was the law, all right? The reason why it was the ministry of death is because none of us could keep it. Case in point, you know, case in point, unable to keep the law. All right, so if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel couldn't look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, that glory was passing away. Okay, so this was so that, you know, like, that was a privilege for Moses to have even that much of God because he was in Old Covenant and, you know, it could have just sizzled him up, right? So how glorious that was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? The Spirit lives in us, right? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness, oh, hallelujah, for God's righteousness, exceeds much more in glory. Wow. For even what was made glorious had no glory. I know there's a lot of repeat here, but you need to take note of this. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the glory that excels what was. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Here's where our hope lies. This is why we don't see it, is because we don't have confidence enough to use great boldness of speech. Right? Did I read the whole last verse? Yeah, okay. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. He fulfilled it all, every bit of the Old Testament. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, get this, unveiled face. Wow. Unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. We can look straight into his face. We're not going to get sizzled up. We can look straight into his face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Here's that forward motion again. Being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. Forward motion. Everything in God is forward motion. We now have the veil taken off, and the more we look into the face of Jesus Christ, the more we see what has been deposited into us and realize that, the more transformed we will be, and we will continue to increase, because his government is meant to increase and go forward. It's always been the plan of God. And you know, if you don't believe it because of that, you know, Jesus clinched it by making the most unbelievable statement to his disciples, which was, as he said in John 14, 12, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do, and greater. I don't think we really believe it. I don't think we really believe it. If we really believed it, we'd have confidence to take a risk, you know, and just see God's glory. You know, it's not just about feeling it, okay? It's wonderful when we feel the presence of God and the glory of God, and, you know, you have experiences in the spiritual realm. I understand those things happen, and I'm all for it. But it's one thing to feel it and another thing to be demonstrating it as Jesus did. You know, it's being transformed from glory to glory into his image. You know, that forward motion was always the plan of God. If we can just look at Matthew 10, 7 and 8. This is what he said to his disciples when he sent them out. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. But not just saying. Then he said, heal the sick. So preach the kingdom, say it, but then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have freely you have received, now freely give. And then in 28, when just before he left this earth, he said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Right? Now, a lot of people think it stopped at when all the disciples died. That's not forward motion. That's not the increase of his government. If signs and wonders and miracles stopped when the apostles died, then, you know, how awful is that? What purpose was it? For what? He says, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, all things, everything that I do. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And, you know, we just heard Pastor Sue say this morning that when the power of the Spirit came, it was to be witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the utter parts of the earth. That was to carry on indefinitely until Jesus returns, until the age of grace is finished. Not just until the apostles died out. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that. Nowhere in Scripture. Forward motion. So we are to be carrying the same message and seeing the same things that Jesus saw and discipling and teaching others to do the same. Wow. What a responsibility. What a responsibility. So, you know, Jesus, as we said before, Jesus is our ultimate example. He is perfect theology. You know, if you look to Jesus, you won't go wrong. You won't go wrong. All right? So, you know, even though the thing is, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, well, he was God. So, yes, he was. But you can't forget that even though Jesus was all God, he was still all man. And when he operated on this earth, when he healed the sick and raised the dead, I mean, it would be wonderful if he did that as God. I would think, wow, how great is God? But what even makes it more wonderful is that he did that with the limitations of a man. Everything that Jesus did, he did as a man functioning on this earth, because Scripture tells us he set aside his divinity. He set it aside, okay? So he had to do these things because it came out of his relationship with his Father and obedience to his Father. Same with us, right? So Jesus is the example, and there's only two qualifications that Jesus had. First of all, he was sinless. And you think, well, that counts me out. No, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ, he makes us sinless. Praise God. It's his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, okay? So it doesn't count us out. All right? In Christ, God sees us as he saw Jesus, sinless. Right? Qualification one met. Qualification two, he was entirely empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Says, this is when Jesus' baptism, it said, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And then if you jump to the next chapter, very first verse, after that happened, the Spirit came upon him. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. Jesus' ministry didn't begin until he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So without that, he wouldn't have done what he was doing. Okay? So he was sinless, and then he became empowered by the Holy Spirit. We accept Jesus, and when he abides in us, we become sinless, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything that he had within him, we have within us. And that comes, like we said before, with all the fruit of the Spirit and with the gifts of the Spirit. Look, we're just going to briefly look at them, because I think we don't even think about them. Most Christians today don't even think about the gifts of the Spirit and how they can operate in our lives. Now, this is an in-depth study in its own, so I'm not here to teach on it, okay? But I just want to breeze past it so you can see this is what we're supposed to be operating in, and not just in a church service. The purpose of the gifts was for the world, It's everything how Jesus acted and how he functioned. He functioned with the operation of the gifts constantly. If you can pull that passage up in Corinthians. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, is it 2 Corinthians? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given, and this is to each one, but I'm telling you, the original language, the Old King James, and the original language says, given to everyone. Because some people like to take that, oh, well, you know, he didn't give it to me, or, you know, I can't use that gift, or whatever. No one owns the gifts. We don't own them. We don't say, I have this gift. He gives them to us, all right? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all, all right? There's a reason. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Okay, now this just, when, as we go through these, this just means if you are open to hear the Holy Spirit and obedient, there will be a situation where God will use you for the profit of that person, right? Anybody, even though it says to the one, it means to the one in a particular situation, all right? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. That's when we can know something that from God, like a particular plan from God. I'm just doing this like really briefly, you know, like Joseph did when he knew there was a famine coming, all right? Similar things like that. All right, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. This, if every believer could tap in to using the gift of the word of knowledge, wow. Ask God to reveal things to you, because you can go up to someone in a street and know everything about their life in 2 seconds, and boy, let me tell you, that will bring them to the Lord. People would get healed if we just knew what God knew, and he wants us to know. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, this isn't our normal kind of faith, all right? Because we all have been given a measure of faith. We all have that we can use and stimulate that and practice using our faith and see results. But this is that supernatural gift of faith, like it's when God's faith meets our faith and boom, all of a sudden something drops there. You know that you know that you know that you know you're going to go raise that person from the dead, and it's going to happen, right? You just know. It's just this, yeah. And it can come in a whole lot of other ways. Some things in life, if you look back, you know, I would have never gotten through that if it hadn't been for the Spirit of faith. All right, to another, gifts of healings. We know what healings are by the same Spirit. Get a word of knowledge on someone that they're sick. Go lay hands on them. Wow, boom, we see the miracle. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. That's just declaring things over people, you know, and speaking into people's lives, pinpointing things and speaking into the lives, encouraging them. To another, discerning of spirits. That's so that you can distinguish what spirit's operating here. Is it good? Is it bad? You know, to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. You'd be surprised how tongues and interpretation could lead unbelievers to the Lord. That's what it's supposed to do. My boss, when I way, way back, Springfield, Missouri, my boss got led to the Lord because he asked to come to church. I can't remember which came first, if I led him to the Lord first. No, I led him to the Lord first. And then he came to church, but let me tell you, it clinched it, because he was of Jewish background, and there was a message in tongues in that church that I went to, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is the first time he'd come to church. There was a message in tongues, and then there was the interpretation, and afterwards, he pulled me aside, and he said, how did that guy know what he was saying? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, because he was speaking perfect Hebrew. And I just said, are you serious? And he said, yeah. Yeah, he said, like I knew what he was saying before anybody said anything. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, I've seen this really happen. Like, he was amazed, absolutely amazed, and just kept on going forward for God. But see, the gifts are there for the world. Yes, for each other. for the profit of all, but for the world. Did I cover them all? No, one more. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. If you're open to the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, you talk to God, you want to be his answer to somebody, you want to, you know, be his hand to someone, his feet to someone, you can be in a situation and he'll say, you need this gift of the Spirit right now. Boom, go for it. Okay? It can be any of us, if we're paying attention. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up now. So basically, it's becoming more like Jesus. All right, the more we see him, the more we see the Father, the more we believe what the Father wants to do in us, and the more we get rid of all the traditional religious ideas. You know, we come up with theology every time, you know, we can't see the scripture working. We come up with our reasons why it's not working, but Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you can pull up John chapter 7, it's living a consistently Spirit-filled life is the only way that we are going to consistently bring people into an encounter with God. And I mean a real God encounter. And this is a very famous scripture. Whoop, and there we go. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." You want to see Jesus do these things through you? Drink. 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 "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It just will flow right out of you so naturally if you really desire it. If you really desire it. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom these believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we are living in a privileged time where we have the Holy Spirit. And the more we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, these rivers will flow out. Well, I'm telling you, the people around us need these rivers. They need the river of his goodness. They need the river of his peace and joy. They need the river of his healing and miracles. They just need this river flowing out from them. And in 1 John 4:17, again, John the Revelator says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness." I know it says in the day of judgment, but I like to say that we may have boldness even now, because as he is, so are we in this world. And you know, John was seeing him in this, I believe, in this scripture here. Remember, when Jesus left this earth, he was ascended to heaven. But when John was seeing him, when he wrote Revelation, and John, and towards the end of his life, he was seeing the glorified Jesus. Man, let me tell you, he describes it. You know, the eyes of fire and just the glow. And he says, as he is, so are we in this world. I'm telling you, we are to be the glorified Jesus in this world. And that's the mirror we're reflecting. That's it. Because we're seated with him in heavenly places. And he is in that glorified state. We are seated with him in heavenly places. So that, you know, face to face, like, you know, don't ask me how it happens. It's all by the Spirit. All by the Spirit. Doesn't matter how it happens. Jesus says it happens, so we believe it. Right? That seated with him, that glory, that hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it is that glory. Because, you know, the longer that this age goes on and the longer that Jesus, that we're in eternity, the greater the glory is because of being so close to the Father. The glory just gets greater and greater and greater and greater. And it's something that I, for one, I want to be one of those people who makes a difference in the world because of the glory, the hope of glory that lives in me. Amen. We're going to take communion right now. And, you know, as we do, look, the communion is such an important part of a Christian's life. And not just, you know, as a religious holy sacrament, and I'm not saying that sacrilegiously, but for the benefit that it brings to us and to people around us. Just that remembering and partaking of what Jesus did and the covenant that we have with him. Forward motion, always increasing. Never again did we have to kill a sheep to have rightness with God or to be forgiven. No more sacrifices, because Jesus was the supreme sacrifice. And so if I can have just someone come and play something. Sorry. As we're taking communion, I just felt today, based on, you know, what we've been talking about and everything, I'd like us to just, something similar to what Pastor Chuck did a couple weeks back. You know, I'm sure there's someone in your world, maybe not necessarily here, okay? I think I'm wanting to go more with someone in your world, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, a work colleague, just you know, it might be a tradie that comes to your house or something. Someone in your world that God has put on your heart, or that maybe he'll put on your heart while we're sitting here, that you know needs a touch from God. Whether they need salvation, whether they need healing, whether they need to be set free, like the prisoners, Jesus came to set the prisoners free. You know, I want, you know, I'll tell you right now too, like the Fleuren family really needs our prayers. And, you know, I spent some time with Trish this week. You know, it's hard when you're as in much pain as she's in with five kids. Okay, and Pam's been amazing, you know. Pam's, you know, been there for her, and that's why Pam's not here today, because she had Eden overnight, and Eden wasn't well. And Dan has been shifting their business and changing the business and getting out of the troubles he was in. So they've had a whole host of things on them. And I say that because, you know, I will probably remember them in prayer right now. But, you know, through the week, they're part of us. They're part of us. When you don't see people for weeks and weeks, don't forget about them. You know, pray for them. Trish is desperate to come back to church. Desperate. She still hasn't had a really great result yet, you know, and you know, I'll be honest with you, because she shared this with me, and I know she wouldn't care, because she wants the victory. God, she's been getting so close to God through this, but on the other side of it, she feels like, sometimes she feels like she's stuck here, and the pain's never going to go. You know, God is greater. So, you know, you might know someone like that or whatever within our fellowship, but outside of our fellowship, even one of your acquaintances that you know needs a touch of God. As we take communion this morning, I would like you to ask God to either put that on your heart or to ask you for the boldness, his direction, only by his direction. Right? I'm not saying go out and do something stupid, right? Saying by his direction, you know, it's the heart of compassion that touches people. And if your compassion really goes deep to someone that you know, could be a school friend for you younger ones, you know? You're not excluded from any of this. If God's compassion in you goes that deep, he'll put the boldness in you. the wrist to just reach out a hand, just however God says. He could give you a word of knowledge. Wow. You know? Just believe Him. Believe Him that He wants to use you to touch other people. The whole purpose of why we take communion is to remember and have that fellowship, that exchange, that great exchange that happened. Okay? I took all your junk. I'm giving you all this back. Amen. I love it. I love it. Praise God. Father, we just, right now, thank you for your body that was broken and your precious blood that was shed. And we're just going to take a few moments right now just for you to lay someone on our heart. If someone's already there, Lord, for you, just tell us what you want us to do. And we'll follow. Lord, whether it's healing, whether it's just prophesying, declaring something over their life, whether it's laying hands on the sick, giving a word of knowledge, Lord, you just guide and direct us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. We partake for every single person you've laid on our heart. We just declare that God's will be done on them on earth as it is in heaven. And that, Lord, each and every person here will hear from you and will move in confidence and do the things that you've asked us to do, I pray. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread together. Collected.